Dear Heavenly Father, as we now approach the Word of God, that is the most important thing in our life. Father, if it doesn't have first place in our life, we need to make some adjustments. Because, Father, without the Word, we cannot survive. We cannot live in this world. So, Father, today, anoint your people to receive the Word of God. Anoint my lips to deliver the Word of God. And between the two, the ear gate will be totally blessed in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So if you will, open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 6. We'll just start right there. Hebrews chapter 6. Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about vision. Vision. There is natural vision and there is spiritual vision. There is a difference between the two. I was listening to a tape by a man that was talking on vision, and he made no distinction between the two. And I thought that was very interesting, because you have to have an understanding that vision comes from two different realms. You have what you call natural vision, and you have what you call spiritual vision. And they are different. Why? The components are different. The components of natural vision, vision is made up of the senses empowered by circumstances. It's by the senses empowered by circumstances. Where spiritual vision is empowered, the components of it is the Word of God, and it's empowered by what God has said. And that makes these visions completely different. But because you exist in both realms, one can complement the other, or one can destroy the other. How many understand what I'm talking about? If you have an imbalance in you, if you're not properly balanced, then natural vision can have the preeminence over spiritual vision. You're supposed to have spiritual vision first before you have anything to do with what natural vision has to offer. Remember we read in Romans chapter 4 about Abraham, when God approached Abraham to cut a covenant because he wanted family. Because Abraham wanted family. He couldn't have family, but he wanted family. And God is a family man. Abraham wanted to be a family man. God wants to remain a family man. And so he approached Abraham so he could cut a covenant and he could have family and God could have family. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. Praise God. Okay, Abraham, you want family? I do too. Let's hook up together. And let's have family. Praise God. In God's family was the number of the stars in heaven. It goes, you know, as the number of the stars in heavens. Abraham, he reaped one son, Isaac. Amen. And that's God. Whenever you invest into his kingdom, he multiplies and he goes beyond any number you can conceive of in your life. I like that. But we brought out in talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Who against hope believed in hope. And what as pertained to what Abraham has found, and he was referring to accepting God through the components of faith. Who against hope believed in hope. Who against hope believed in hope. We brought out the fact that Abraham did. King James says he didn't. But according to the Greek language, it says, and Abraham did consider his body yet being 100 years old, and he did consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. NIV translates it, I think, properly. Some of your newer translations translate it properly, that he did. Now, that tells us something right away. That tells us that there is a natural hope, and then there is a spiritual hope. The natural hope can destroy you. The spiritual hope can make things come alive. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You know why the message of faith is not fully understood by the church as a whole? Matter of fact, we got ministers preaching against faith teachers. Why is that? Because faith is not understood. And did you know something? We're talking about vision today, and we're going to mention the four components of vision. And I have found that whenever I'm challenged to operate in faith, and you know something? It's not like you arrive at faith one time and you remain there. See, people seem to think that once I've arrived and had victory one time, then I have arrived at that time. I found that in the earlier part of my life, I had more faith than the latter part of my life. Why is that? Because faith operates out of the issues of a man's heart. And it's predicated on what a man is totally convinced of or fully persuaded of. Amen? And did you know that time itself, over a period of time, faith can be drained from a person? Whether you realize it or not, faith can drain itself out of you. That's why you have to stay on top of you to keep yourself on that cutting edge so that when you need to operate in faith, it's there. And one thing I've understood about Christians that don't know how to operate in faith is because they don't understand what faith consists of. It consists of understanding vision. I was challenged, I don't remember how many years ago, I was challenged because I had to operate in faith, and I have to operate in faith today, don't get me wrong. But I was challenged with how can I identify whether I'm really in faith or not? How can I identify that? And so I went to Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and 3. And that's the old famous faith chapters and verse, you know. And I began to look at it, and I began to look at it intently. And I noticed that faith has a lot to do with vision. And I found that if people cannot operate in faith, it's because they don't understand how faith operates. It operates through vision. It operates through vision. Now, I had you open up to Hebrews chapter 6, and this is a very interesting chapter, and I want us to go down to verse 16. Well, let's go to verse 13, I'm sorry, verse 13. Everybody there? Hebrews 6, 13. And listen to me carefully. Listen, people, what I'm sharing with you. What I'm sharing with you is reality. You know what people say? This world is reality. It is not. This world doesn't deal in reality. We look at that which is natural as reality. Well, it's reality for this realm. But listen, God's got control of this realm if He's got authority to do it with. He does. So what does that make this realm? Not the final say. It makes it not the final say. If God's got the authority that He needs to operate in this realm, what seems reality here doesn't mean a flip to God. Sorry to say that word, right? Doesn't mean a hill of beans. Is that a better one? Notice 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, that's Abraham, he obtained the promise. Do you know how long he patiently endured? Now, for the Big Mac, the McDonald's mines, Burger King, this might stun you. This might really shock you. Into some reality. He waited 50 years. 50 years from the time he was promised a child to the time he actually had one. That's what I understand, anyway. Was it 25? It was 25 years. Excuse me. Thank you, John. My friend. How many... 25 years is a long time. I said 50, 25. How many of you know that is a long time?
Yes. Oh,
yeah. What if you were to stand on something for 25 years? My gosh, most of us, with the way our mind works today, we'd have had a relapse of amnesia by the time 25 years had passed. But he stood faithful to God, what God had promised for that long of a time. People that don't hold vision well do not operate well in faith. People that don't know how to retain vision well do not understand that they're incapable of operating in faith. Now, there is little faith. All of us possess little faith. The Bible says little faith can't do anything for you. And the Bible does not say if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. It does not say that. It says, if you have faith that's like a grain of mustard seed, when it grows and develops and matures, then the mountain can get removed. Right. Little faith doesn't move mountains. It's matured, fully developed mustard seed tree that moves mountains. How many understand what I'm saying? That's why he said in all his encounters with his disciples, Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith," because they were failing at everything that they were doing. They weren't listening to what Jesus was saying. We've got Christians that are trying to move mountains with little mustard seed faith. And the Bible's very clear, you can't move a mountain with mustard seed faith. You have to use what faith is. It's developing into the fullness of the tree that you're capable of harvesting fruit in that area. You have to develop yourself in faith. See. But those who do not grow strong in faith, that end up in fear, it's because they don't know how to hold vision. Now, what are the components of vision? Well, let's read on here. For men swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by oath. Now, if God told you something personally, would you believe it? Would you hang on to it? Well, did you know that you have his word right here?
That's right.
And we argue over whether we believe this or not, or whether we should believe it. Don't get too involved in that word, because you can go too far. I always wondered what too far meant for me. I asked God, what happens if I go too far? He says, you succeed.
Amen.
Now watch this. So God gave an oath that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, two things that would never happen, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope, lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now, that within the veil, as you're referring to, is entering into that which involves the inner side of something. Whether the forerunner is for us, entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What two immutable things was he referring to? What two, John? What two immutable things when he was referring to when he gave it by oath? Well, number one is that what? Boy, I'm glad I touched on this. Huh?
He can't lie.
He can't lie. Okay. So God can't lie. If God said that whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you have receive them, and you shall have them. That's future tense. You receive present tense, and it manifests future tense. You receive it present tense, it manifests future tense. So, it's impossible for him to lie. And what was the other component? Huh? He cannot change. He cannot change. Is that right or wrong? Okay. And guess what? This confirming the Bible says this confirmation that took place on these two things. He cannot lie and he cannot change. And it was solidified in Jesus. It was put into cement by Jesus. And do you know what a forerunner here is? This is not a forerunner like Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha. This is not the forerunner he's speaking of here. He's talking about a forerunner of a ship. A lot of people don't understand what a forerunner was. Well, he was a man who would be up at the bow of the boat, and he'd have a rope anchored around his waist. Then, in fog or anything, to get a boat from crashing into rocks or getting into a shallow area, he would drop this rope into the water that had a weight, and he would let it down until he touched bottom. Then he'd yell back to those that are in charge of the boat to either cease going any further or it was okay to go ahead because it was still deep enough for the boat to go in close to the shore. You following me? Okay, when it got to where it was critical in depth, then the forerunner would then anchor the rope to the boat and he would dive into the water and he would swim to shore and find a place to anchor the boat. Are you following me? Then he would yell back and say that it was all secured, you can come on in. Because then what they would do is they would pull on the rope until the bottom of the boat would secure itself, and then they were able to go inland. Are you following me? Because you couldn't go inland a lot of times because the water was too deep. If you get the boat close enough to shore so it wouldn't hit rocks and everything, then it would be adequate for the people to jump in the water and get into the shore. What he's saying here about this forerunner is that Jesus did something for you and I. He was our forerunner. What he did to establish these two things, that it was impossible for God to lie and God cannot change, therefore Jesus qualified to be our forerunner. He went and he secured, he anchored the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when faith begins to express itself, it will give glory back to God, because if God said to hang on to your faith, then you will see to it. He is a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him, if you believe that he is what he says he is. And so when you apply faith, your faith to the kingdom of God, it's just like that rope. It goes right up, and Jesus is the one who secured something to your faith. And if you hang on to that line and keep pulling on it, you will arrive to the manifestation of what you're believing God for in hope of the gospel. In hope of the gospel. Are you following me? And none of us are exempt. All of us can do it. What I can accomplish in my life, you can accomplish also in your life. There is no respecter of persons when they call upon the name of the Lord. It's how you call upon the name of the Lord. It's how much faith you're walking in that matters. Hallelujah. Because God cannot change. When he sets a precedent, you got to go to where God is. God's not going to come down and change for your sake.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. God cannot change. And so that's what he's referring to here. Jesus anchored himself to the shore. Now I have a few more minutes and I want to have you turn over to chapter 11. And I want us to take a look at faith, because in these verses we'll find our vision. We'll find our vision. Verse 1. Now faith is. You know something? A better translation is, in fact, faith is. Faith is. Faith is, notice this, the substance. The substance of things hoped for. Did you know that over there in Hebrews 6 we read that you are to let hope be an anchor of the soul?
Right.
You know what an anchor does? It keeps you from drifting. How many of you are fishermen? How many of you used an anchor before? When you drop it in the water, what do you expect it to do? Stabilize you, I hope. So you drop that anchor to stabilize yourself. Why? So the currents won't take you. It won't move you. I know how important anchors are. Sue and I got caught in a storm one time. We had to get into this little cove area. And my anchor kept cutting loose, coming undone. So I got that sucker anchored, and I had to stay up all night just to hope that I wouldn't get into the same position that the others got into. They drifted out, and you wake up in the morning, you're out where there's no land nowhere. You know? Matter of fact, this one guy next to us, his anchor kept coming undone. We kept waking him up, and he got so mad, he got up, started his motor up, and ran his boat right up on land. He was going to get some sleep. Well, the next day, his boat was sideways. Couldn't get it off the land. But I sat up all night, and you know what? I didn't need to. Why? My anchor was well set. I couldn't even hardly get it undone. So I was going to have to cut the line. Remember that, Sue? And man, when I got that anchor undone, man, I pulled up half the bottom of the ocean with it. But what happens is when hope is an anchor of your soul, you'll actually get to your destination. But you have to be patient. You have to learn how faith and patience inherit the promises of God. But we have this McDonald attitude. I need it now, God. Why? I'm on the move. You're a little slow for me, God. I need it now. I'm on the move. You see. Now, the first component of faith is vision. When you don't understand vision, you'll never operate in the components of faith. Vision is the ability to see beyond the natural. It is visual. We can see it. We can see what it is. It is the ability to see. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, would see. Jesus said, pay no attention to what they say. Jesus said that many times. Pay no attention to what they say. One of the principles for seeing the unseen is ignore what people say. You have to ignore what people say. Matter of fact, you'll find that when you think that you're established in your faith and you think you're established where you need to be and you get your confession going, the devil will always send someone to see to it they have a voice against that if your own voice within you can't hinder you. Are you following me? So one thing about vision is that you have to ignore what people say when they speak against vision. Some of the things I've heard people, it's too late. It's over. You'll never amount to anything. You're not smart enough. You're not tall enough. You're not big enough. You'll never succeed because what makes you think it'll work? It never did before. You know, these are the voices that can come against vision. Are you following me? Jesus turned to Jairus and said, just believe. Just believe. Don't be limited to what meets the eye. You see, people ask for great things of a great God, but they don't believe in a great God. They ask great things of a great God, but they don't believe in a great God. Are you following me? We serve a great God. We serve a big God. He exists, people. Yeah. With every miracle that takes place behind this pulpit, and lately we've had a greater anointing of a miracle, that miracle keeps penetrating my thinking. It keeps penetrating. If God can do that, what could He be limited to? We had one lady, I don't know whether she's here this morning, came up Wednesday night. And she says, I have this infection running across my gums. And I have this chipped tooth. And she says, I want God to heal it. And so I laid hands on her. And I prayed in the name of Jesus. And God restored her tooth and removed all the infection, the pain. And she got so excited over it. And while she's jumping up and down, her car's being ripped off in our parking lot. And she was so excited over the fact of her healing, it didn't bother her that much. Why? She looked at her tooth, it was made whole. It was chipped, it was made whole. God restored her tooth. Well, I got to thinking about that, man. If that's the way God is, I mean, hey, if he can restore a tooth. There were several miracles here that night. I forgot who was telling me. They wish I hadn't dismissed the audience. They would have liked to have been in here when it all happened. People were shouting and jumping up and down. We had a move of God in healing. You see, you have to know eventually that what you see is not what you could end up with. Why? Because this might seem reality to people, but this is not reality, people. God's reality.
Yeah.
What is reality? God. Well, yes, I know that, but really, what is reality? God. God's reality. God's reality. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves. People generally see what they look for and hear what they listen for. Want me to repeat that? People generally see what they look for and hear what they listen for. What they see and hear is predicated on what they want to see and hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't mess with God like that. If you want to see God and you want to hear God, you got to deny yourself in order to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the natural mind such an outlaw against God, because he's only programmed by the senses. Now listen, we need to increase our listening awareness if we don't want vision removed from us.
True.
If you're listening to the wrong thing, get rid of it and start listening to the right thing. Our soul is very weak. It is so weak that if you get it in the wrong environment, it will be affected by that. You take a rotten apple and you put it into a bucket of good apples, the whole box will become rotten. That's the weakness of our soul. You hang around with negative people, you'll become one. You hang around with positive people, you become one. You hang around with God, you'll be just like him in your talk and your voice and your actions. Why? Because you hang around with God, you'll end up God. Well, not God. You know what I mean. I don't mean that. But you'll end up just acting and walking and talking just like him while you're hanging around with them.
Right.
Choose to believe what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you, with your day. You need to walk daily with the Holy Ghost if you want to keep vision. You don't need to be sporadic. You need to be daily walking with the Holy Ghost. You see, the people saw what God did, but Moses got to understand why God did it. When Moses was leading the nation of Israel, the people got to see what God did, but Moses understood why God did it. You see, there's a lot of people that know about Jesus, but they don't know him personally. You see. Knowledge is learning what God has said and done. Perspective is understanding why God said or did it. Vision, listen, vision has to have the ability to see. Let's look at Hebrews 11 here, and we're going to stop. Now faith is the substance of things what? You know what hope is, people? It's the thermostat that's set on the inside of you. It's your thermostat. If I want to increase the heat in this building, I'll go to the thermostat. If I want to decrease the heat in this building, I'll go to the thermostat and decrease it. Hope is the thermostat for your life. Now notice, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Notice this, the evidence. Now notice this, the evidence. The evidence, the proof.
Yep.
The evidence, the proof. Now, are you ready? The evidence.
What? Read it right here.
Things not seen. We're talking about vision, people. The first component of vision is the ability to see. Well, if faith is the evidence of hope, and that hope is something not seen, guess what? It's given us a cue right there.
What is it telling us? It's telling us that faith has substance. It's the evidence of something not seen. What's not seen? What's not seen in the natural? You got to hold your faith intact, your hope intact for your substance by not seeing this realm. That's what we touched on last Sunday, but by seeing beyond the unseen.
Right.
Are you following what I'm saying? Now notice this. We need to get a hold of this. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Actually, it means they obtained a good witness. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I want you to catch this verse, verse 3. This is not talking about how God created the universe with words. This is how the elders obtained a good report. I hate to destroy a book that was written on that basis, but listen, truth is truth. He's saying here how the elders obtained a good report. How did they obtain a good report? Here's how they obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand. The word understand is to perceive.
Right.
To perceive. Matter of fact, Vine brings out this word. Noeo, it means the mind's ability to perceive with thought coming into the consciousness as distinct from the perception of senses. Apart from senses. To perceive apart from the senses. To perceive apart from the senses. Well, that gives confirmation to the first verse. He says that faith gives evidence, substance, to things not seen or perceived by what is natural. But what is natural? You know, a belief is something you'll argue about. But a conviction is something you'll die for.
Right.
Now, you ready? Through faith, we understand that the worlds, this is not cosmos, this is not the universe, this is not earth, but this is the Greek word Ionos, age, time period, generation, decade, century, millennium. He said, through faith, we understand that their generation, their dispensation, were framed. The word framed means altered or adjusted. Altered or adjusted. Glory to God. To alter, to adjust. The fundamental meaning is to put a thing in its appropriate... Are you ready? To put a thing in its appropriate condition.
Right.
You know why God gave His Word? So it would never, ever... ever, ever return to Him void. When I use His Word, when I get a hold of His promises, and I start letting them out of my mouth, and I start releasing my faith through the components of how to do that, God takes honor in that, and He tells us His Word will not come back to Him void.
Amen.
Why? He gave it to us. So wouldn't.
Yep.
Why a lot of Christians can't have victory in faith? Because they're flat faithless. That's bottom line.
You know, when that girl asked me for that, God said, you watch what you're thinking in your heart. You're going to lay hands on her. You're going to believe for that tooth. And you believe it right now. You don't sit there and say, well, maybe, or I hope. I believe. And I'm seeing a change. I'm dealing with what I'm thinking.
Why you think has a big difference on how your faith is going to be activated.
Now notice this. Through faith, we understand the elders who obtained a good witness before God, that their time period or their generation was altered or adjusted, put into its proper perspective by a rhema of God, the spoken word of God. You know what? I asked the Lord, I said, why did you use rhema there and not logos? He says, because I gave them the logos. I spoke the logos to them. They rhema'd it.
They spoke at the origin. Remember, Rhema is where the origin came from. This verse is saying, because they, the elders, spoke what God had told them.
Yeah.
Are you ready? That the word of God, so that the things which are seen, here we go again, are seen because faith is the substance or the evidence of something that is not seen. Why? It's in the form of hope. Now, get a hold of this. Watch this. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Which do appear. What is this? Which do appear. It appears like Enoch would die like every man. What was seen? He was not, for he was taken.
Yep.
It appeared that Abraham could not have a kid. It appeared that way. But what was seen? Isaac.
Yep.
You see, every verse from that point on, the patriarchs of old, they gave testimony of what appeared, but what was seen. It appears you're going down the river, but when you stand on the promises of God's word, the river will come back to you. That's why it says when one of the enemies of God's footstool in the earth, in the church, is complacency and indifference. It's when Christians lose an interest for the word of God, because then they enter into death. Anything can happen to them. They have no resistance. They have no authority. They have no power. Why? Because you are God's authority in this earth. God's established His authority through a completed work and gave it to you. If God was in control of planet Earth, apart from the believers, then you and I just need to kick back and relax and not do anything, because God's in control anyway, and that's the way some Christians interpret God. It's abomination. You know what God told me? He says, Jan, if you don't, I won't. If you don't, I won't. I want you to say that with me, if you believe it. If I don't,
I don't.
He won't.
He won't.
If I don't,
I don't.
He won't.
He won't.
If I don't,
I don't.
He won't.
He won't.
If I don't do anything about it, He won't do anything about it. If I don't do anything about it, He won't do anything about it. If I don't do anything about it, He won't do anything about it. You want to know why? He's given it to you. He's given it to you. He's given the authority to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all things in all. If you don't, He won't. And you know what? If I preached a sermon and said, I'm going to tell you, this is what you need to do. Here's two things you need to do. Number one, stay out of church. Now you got to show up once in a while to make people happy and know that you're alive. But really, it's not really that necessary, because after all, God is not the church. Stay out of church. As much as you can. Number two, it's not all that necessary to really listen to everything, because that's their interpretation. So number two, let's deal with the hearing gate, the ear gate. Let's do something with that. Now people, because you're a Christian and how much God loves you, it doesn't really matter. Because you can sit back and take a break today. Well, I'm trying to. You know what I'm doing? I'm preaching a sermon to those who are living it. And another thing, it's not all that necessary to do all that much praying. A dear friend of mine said that his personal prayer life is when he shaves and brushes his teeth. That's very dangerous. I get in my personal prayer when I shave and brush my teeth, when I drive to the church, or when I drive to work. Another thing is, Please, people, your natural living is far more important than your spiritual side. So you've got to realize, after all, you've got to make a living. We go earn, but why aren't we packed out to the walls? Somebody said, well, if the anointing was just like it used to be. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm more turned on to God. I have more power operating through me. My brain is more renewed now. I have more to offer you now than the day I started this church. I have, you to know. More committed. Are you following me? My vision is just increasing. Why? Because God didn't call me to build my ministry. He called me to prepare the house of God for His inhabitation in your life. You're the one responsible for your walk, not me. And yet Christians get offended and they get hurt and they run off and they disappear. Why? Because the church has been the babysitting center long enough. Amen. By the time we rise up and take our place as a child of God and act like we love Him. You can ask my wife. I kicked out of church for 3 years. Why? Dead. What? I had an enemy working in my heart that my wife knew was there. Tragedy woke me up. Just what God wanted. He wanted to use tragedy to teach me something. I got a book up there that's purpose-driven in that area. Oh, shut up, Jan. Yes. Sit there and gives me a whole chapters on how God uses tragedies and uses divorce to speak to us. Well, if that's the case, people, head for a divorce. Hey, look for tragedy. Go out and take your car and run it on a, you know, one. At least you'll get some kind of education out of it if you don't hear in church. That's ludicrous. It's crazy. It's another form of doctrine that's getting into our society. Listen, I want to tell you something. It's sufficient enough what God said. Just rightly divide it. God, I thank you. I heard this testimony. God put me flat on my back in the hospital. Why? It was His only way that He could get me to talk to Him. That was a member of my church. I asked her, I thought you were a member of my church. She said, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I says, don't buy that. You got flat on your back because you weren't talking to God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, you're funny, Pastor. Well, then I had to go. Why? Get a laugh out of what's really funny. You guys want to get dedicated? Go look for a tragedy. You get dedicated. You think that's God's will? Do you think that's the way God's going to put vision in you? If you buy that one time, guess what? You got to have another one that goes with it. Why? For your next level of glory. Maybe the first one was migraines. I got you in the hospital, so you talk to God. What if the next one ain't migraines? What if it's something a lot more serious? Most Christians want to apply faith after they've lived a life of unbelief. And tragedy hits. Well, where's your strength going to be? And let me ask you something. How many of you know that God judged that first world that Noah was over? Did you know that? He judged that first world. I'm going to make a blunt statement here. He judged that first world. He called Noah a preacher of righteousness. He went and he told the people, because of your sin, you're going to be judged. And so God sent the flood, wiped everybody out, except Noah and his family. They found grace in the sight of God. Are you ready? His family was as ungodly as the rest of them. Well, how did they escape the judgment? Are you ready? Because they were in the earshot of Noah. They found grace in God, in the eyes of God, because of Noah having God in his heart. So he knew he didn't have to take his family out by the flood because Noah was still committed to God, which Noah then could preach to his family and get them also saved. Do you know that to whom much is given, much is required. So then Noah's family come into existence. One of them ends up a homosexual. But he didn't get taken out in the flood. Why? Because he had Noah for his conviction. You know what that means? It means that when you have the knowledge of God, you're responsible for it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Your pastor is not responsible for your word. Just like we're not responsible for your hospital visits. We're just committed to visit you there.
Yep.
That's all. We can pray for you. Are you following me? But with every defeat, there has to be something that will rise up eventually to conquer it. Or you're too vulnerable for death. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for people that have been given the responsibility of the word and they don't do nothing with it. I feel so sorry for them. Why? Because they think they're escaping. And really, it's just a matter of time. Death will set in. If not spiritual, physical. The Lord told me, He says, Jan, you ever cut back now? He says, you'll be deader than a hammer because Satan would love nothing better than to shut you up. Because he's working overtime to try to get as many people out of the earshot of my voice as they possibly can. He'll use any mistake, even me. If there's a mistake I've made in me, he'll use that to just get them out from my mouth. Why? Well, my mouth has the ability to say stupid and dumb things, but yet my mouth has the ability to also bring life. Are you following me? I'm telling you, this church, listen, it doesn't capitalize on the social side. This church capitalizes on the training, stabilizing, and maturing of the body of Christ. I have learned, me and Dan were talking about it in his car, I have learned this one concept that God has committed to me to. Are you ready? For whatsoever is born of God, is the victory that overcometh this world, our faith. So my vision for you is to get something birthed in you to overcome this world with. Are you following me? That is my hope for this church. Somebody's saying, what vision have you got? That's it. To make you a world overcomer. And it's so hindered. With what we share in the gospel here, people, this place should be packed out. Why? Because I'm convinced that not all Christians want truth. They want to live flesh and give recognition to Christianity. But they want their graveyard man well clothed.
Well, I like going over here because I ain't dealing with principles, and I need principles. I need something that can really help me.
Well, let me go and buy you a suit. Let me go buy you a dress and everything. Get it down pat. Let me help you get a nice brand new car. But please, get back into church where you can do something about your spirituality. Because your spirituality doesn't do much for your outer man, but control him. You want spirituality? Deny flesh. You want to grow in the Lord? Suffer, baby. Did you guys get something here today? Everybody stand up.